Praise the Lord. Morning, church. Right. We'll be reading from John 10, 11 through to 18. Praise the Lord. And that's on page 1076. I'll start as you find it. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joan. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this passage and for this analogy of a shepherd. I pray that you will bring it alive to us today. Amen. So at the start of this year, we've been looking at, in the morning services, a number of the I am statements in John. And who's been here for some of them? I'm sure some of you have, last week before. I won't set the difficult question of remembering which week people did what. I took notes. So I am the bread of life that we kicked off with. I am the light of the world. And then last week we had I am the door, which I didn't hear because I was in creche. But the beauty of technology, you can go to the website and you can look at things, listen to things, which is good. And today it's I am the good shepherd. And we've still got to come. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Now, most of those analogies, I think, actually still work nowadays. I mean, a door is a door is a door. But preaching on being a good shepherd in Peckham, I think, sets a small challenge. Anyone here own a sheep? I thought that would be the case, yeah. Although I gather, actually, looking, the internet is a wonderful thing. In World War II, there were sheep on Peckham Rye Common as part of the kind of the whole, you know, go back to the land stuff. And in fact, slightly off topic, but back in the time of my teenage years, I wasn't living in Peckham, but friends of ours who were can still remember cows. There was a dairy in Lugard Road, and they were grazing on Peckham Rye Common. So, you know, 50 years ago, possibly, you could have had a bit more kind of resonance as a Peckham dweller with animals, but now it's not quite as easy. I don't know a great deal about sheep, but I do know enough to know that the picture I took on holiday a couple of years ago is not what sheep normally do. And hopefully it will appear. Kazam, up on there. And if not, I can see it there. No, technology fail. Oh, well. It's a picture, it may appear at some point, it's a picture of sheep in a line. And I still don't know, we were on Lindisfarne and we were walking kind of towards all the kind of buildings and stuff, and away on the right there was a field, and all you could see was a line of sheep following each other across the field from one side to the other. I've got no idea how this is achieved. Presumably there's some explanation that if you know something about sheep, you will understand. Normally what you think of when you think of sheep is they're scattered. And if you've gone on a holiday to places up in, I don't know, Yorkshire Dales, one of the kind of enduring memories of that kind of countryside is as you look out on the hillside, what do you see? Little specks all over the hills, which is the sheep that have just gone, pow, everywhere. And they need looking after, they need bringing back together again, they need keeping safe. They're not desperately clever creatures, I understand, sheep. They tend to follow each other into trouble. So if one sheep finds a way through a bit of barbed wire fence, before long the whole flock goes through, and even if what's over the edge of the barbed wire fence is a steep cliff and a drop into the sea, they'll just keep going. So I was thinking about this. They wander off, they follow each other, they need looking after. And I was on creche last week. I thought, that's what that reminds me of. So perhaps a more Peckham style of illustration would be Jesus saying, I am the good childminder. I mean, there's a sort of similarity about it. So, you know, let's go with it. But it's actually quite a difficult situation, because the second half of that first verse, where Jesus says, good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, the good childminder lays down their life for the children. And I was thinking of some of the recent stories that have come, for example, some of the gun attacks in American schools, where you read these stories of heroic teachers who've managed to protect their entire class by putting them in a cupboard or getting them under the desks. A considerable risk to their own lives. Or further back, I was thinking of the story of Gladys Aylward. Who's heard of Gladys Aylward? Few think, hands going up. She was born in London and wanted to be a missionary, and the missionary societies didn't think this was a good idea, but she went anyway. And she lived for years in China. And she noticed there were lots of orphans who weren't being cared for. So she ran an orphanage. And then in 1938, the Japanese army invaded China at the beginning of what became World War II. So she took 100 of these orphans on a trek across mountainous country to safety. It took 27 days. Now, she was still a British citizen. She could still have just invoked, you know, diplomatic whatever and got out safely. But she took these children. It was a difficult, very, very hostile environment. She herself, when she got there, was suffering from typhus, some sort of fever, malnutrition. And she never actually fully recovered her health. Well, on a few years, and Hollywood decided to do a film about this called The Inn of the Sixth Happiness. With good Hollywood style, they picked a tall actress. Gladys Aylward was short. And in fact, the place that she ran was called the Inn of Eight Happinesses. So I don't know why eight changed to six, but it's possible that some people may have seen the film. But I think those are some examples of what it can mean being a good childminder, good shepherd. So going back to Jesus' remark, I am the good shepherd. Now, back then, of course, his hearers would know what a good shepherd looks like. Very many people in that time would own a sheep, and they would possibly delegate to the kind of village shepherd to look after them. But his hearers would know what it was about. They knew it was a tough job. The sheep scatter during the day, but they need protecting from wild animals. There was still, if you remember the story of young King David before Saul, when he was about to go off and fight Goliath, and he explained that he had killed lions, bears. I mean, you're not thinking Yorkshire Dales and, you know, James Herriot territory here. We're thinking about something that's a lot more dangerous. And you can understand why, when we read about the shepherds that run and run away, why you might do that. It's your own life that's at risk when the lion attacks the sheep. And the old story that's told about two men walking in the woods in America where there are grizzly bears, and one of them says to the other, of course, if there's a bear that attacks us, you've just got to be able to run faster than the other guy. It's a bit like that with sheep. As long as the shepherd gets away, the wolf isn't going to follow the guy, he's going to eat the sheep. Then at night, you had to gather all the sheep together into the sheepfold and keep watch at night against animals, but also against people who might come and try and steal the sheep. And in the early part of the passage in John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus talks about entering the sheep pen. If you don't come in by the gate but climb over the wall, you're up to no good. And also, it's quite isolating. Often, in order to get pasture, you're a long way out of the village, you're out on the hills, there's no one else there, just you. And this bad shepherd that abandons their sheep. And in the Old Testament, shepherds and sheep were often used as an analogy for God and his relationship with Israel, but also for the kings and the prophets and the leaders of the country and their relationship with their people, their sheep. And in Zechariah chapter 11, there's a description of a bad shepherd. And he will not care for the lost. He will not seek the young. He will not heal the injured, feed the healthy, but eats the choice of the meat of the sheep. And so we have this kind of analogies that would have been present in the minds of the hearers about the difference between the good shepherd, and they'd cast their mind back to people like King David, and then the bad shepherds that the prophets railed against, who just didn't look after the sheep. And in Ezekiel, God, through the prophet, promises, I will place over my flock one shepherd, my servant David. And he was looking forward to the son of David who was going to come. He will tend my flock. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And then goes on to list in chapter 34 the good things that follow on for the Israelites from this good shepherd. And so Jesus, as a descendant of David, is standing in that place as the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. He is coming to be the good shepherd. But of course, not just for Israel. Elsewhere in this passage, he talks about, I've got other flocks I must go and find. In verse 16, I have other sheep, not of this sheep pen, I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So the whole of the Church of Christ under the one shepherd. And Psalm 23 is probably one of the best loved psalms. Anyone got Psalm 23 as their favourite psalm? Or at least a popular psalm? And one of the things about Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, it starts out and lists various things, comforting examples of what this might mean. But it's also a psalm for tough times. And it goes on, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So it's a psalm for real life, not just for what a friend of mine once described as Tolkien and teddy bears. It's for when really things are tough, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The song 10,000 Reasons puts it well in slightly different wording. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. And hopefully we'll be singing that later on in this service. Apparently it almost didn't make the cut. Matt Redman was interviewed about the song, and he said, well, it didn't have a pre-chorus or a bridge, so it nearly didn't make it, but the rest of my team told me it should go in. And I'm glad he did, because it's a really powerful song. And I really love it. And I like the way it talks about all the aspects of life. Anyone heard of the Barley Nine? No? Jolly good. These were nine Australians who were arrested in 2005 for smuggling heroin from Indonesia to Australia. And seven of them were sentenced to, I think it was 20 years in prison, and two of them were sentenced to death. There was a lot of opposition, particularly from Australia, to this. But 10 years later, after 10 years on Prison Island, these two ringleaders were sentenced to death, together with six other similar prisoners. In the intervening 10 years, they'd become Christians. And it must have been quite an exciting place on that island, because 7 out of 8 of the people that were sentenced to death were Christians. So as they arrived at the place where they were going to be shot, They sang Amazing Grace, and then as they were bound up, they all sang 10,000 Reasons. So whenever I hear that song, I remember that story, that this is a sort of song that reminds us that God is with us even when you're about to be shot for something. Apparently one of the eight wasn't a Christian, but he wanted to sing the song anyway, a sort of solidarity with the people around him. So that's a kind of trying to imagine what life must have been like for them in that environment and facing the people that were going to shoot them. And there's quite a lot of fear about, I mean, Robin referred to it in the prayers, in our political situation, both in this country and around the world. And quite a few of the politicians are also encouraging fear. It's a very common technique that people have used in politics for years. Get people afraid, they'll vote for a strong leader, and whatever. But we did not so learn Christ. What was his first greeting after his resurrection to his disciples? Matthew 28:10. Fear not. We've got a good shepherd. And we know that whatever happens to us, he is with us. At the end, we shall fall into the arms of a loving God. So we don't need to fear. We know that God will be with us and will be by our side, whatever happens in the world around us or in our own personal situation. And part of the reason we know that is because of Jesus' commitment to his flock, to us. And the second half of the verse where Jesus says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Now, probably to the original hearers, this sounded like just talking about the dangers of being a shepherd and that you might end up having to fight a lion or a bear or something. But downwind of the resurrection, we can read something else into Jesus' remark here, that Jesus was dying, going to be dying for us, for his sheep, and through that death, defeating death. And we remember that ceremonially when we, later on today, take communion. We remember that the bread or the wafer and the wine or grape juice as symbols of Jesus giving his very self, his body and blood for us. It's a sign of his love and his commitment to his flock. I am your good shepherd, and this demonstrates how much I will go through to protect you. And we're called to follow Jesus, like the way back in the day the shepherd would set off and call his sheep and they'd all get together and follow after him. But as he says in Matthew 16, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus demonstrates the sort of living that we are to emulate. And he was able to live the way he did for those 3 years when he was in his main ministry going around the place of Israel, because he was confident in God the Father and he wanted simply to do what God told him to do. And at the end of those 3 years, when he reached the cross, he owned the clothes he stood up in, and that was it. And that level of confidence and trust is something that I would find difficult, to give up all the props that we have that keep us safe. But we can have confidence in God, cast out fear, and act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So as we reflect on this great I am the good childminder, I am the good shepherd, that we're looked after, God is with us. We are like sheep with a shepherd. We can give thanks to God for his comfort, for his protection in both good times and in bad, and even at the end of our life. As Paul wrote in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.